Good morning. This is not Cisco Kodo. Dan Proft, Lauren Cohn, filling in for Cisco Kodo, who is a bit under the weather, and we wish him a get well soon, of course.
He's just taking a long weekend.
Maybe that's it. Maybe this is just hooky. You know, Lauren, I'm so glad that you are with me today because
you are.
Without Bruce Wolf, I feel like a foot without its big toe.
You know, it's amazing the chemistry the two of you have.
Yes.
You were made for each other.
He completes me. He has the other half of this amulet that
sounds
I have
like
been.
A movie.
Yes, exactly.
What was that movie? Jerry Maguire?
Yes, and I think I made a Stripes reference prior to that.
I'm starting to get a little worried about you.
Yes, this is what happens when you live lives of quiet desperation, as both Bruce and I do.
I was expecting to see bruises on you this morning, though, with the way, you know, the two of you go at each other.
Oh, it's all out of love, as you know. And Bruce is out of town. I'm actually going to, you know, we have this Saturday show that we do, too,
right,
from noon to 2. And he is out of town on family business in Scottsdale. So he will not be with me tomorrow. So I will be flying solo, which will be even more lonely. But then he'll be back next week. So I look forward to that. But enough about Bruce Wolf. You are here, and we have
another soap opera going on in downtown Chicago.
We have so much to talk about. Yes, your impressions, and I know that you're a journalist, so you don't do impressions. But
right, well, I've been known to do a few.
The first day of the Blagojevich trial.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's. I mean, I wish I was out there with everybody because what a soap opera. I mean,
what did you think of Patty's kind of?
Patty, stand by her man.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Hillary,
is it Tammy Wynette? Is that
she, you know, it's like she's fighting back in the jungle. No tears, just, you know, stand by her man. What does she say? That this is going to be a good day. This is a good day to begin the process. You know, what I love is the fact that they were getting escorted. They're getting escorted while the brother, Robert, you know, he's off to the side. They were, you know, had that special lunch for them. Poor brother Robert's off. Nobody's talking to him.
I like it wasn't like there was a lot of them, but the folks who showed up to cheer him on, offer moral support, they had the placards. I wonder if that was orchestrated. But the most interesting thing to me, even leading up to the trial, it's really theater of the absurd. So Blagojevich's own defense attorney, Sam Adam Jr., who is a maniac, right? He's just kind of this big, bloviating clown, and that's how he refers to himself. He said, federal prosecutors think I'm a clown.
And that's why they fit so well together.
Right. And then he went into a Joe Pesci rant.
Right.
And then he describes Blagojevich, his client, pre-trial, as a celebrity idiot. But
who
he
can't text, by the way, or work a computer.
But before you take too much of that in terms of him being an idiot, he is a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole defense or the whole lead up to the trial is kind of appealing to your daytime Wendy Williams listening juror pool.
Absolutely. And then how do you pick a jury? I mean, I was listening to some of the juror questions yesterday with the one guy who filled out the questionnaire, investment banker, has a new job, doesn't want to have to do this. And the judge, you know, went off on him and he said, you know, he filled out that he had a mental condition or he had a health condition and it was a bad temper. I mean, how do you pick a jury when everybody knows about this?
How do you pick a jury? What question would you ask a prospective juror? 312-591-8900, 312-591-8900. You can text us to WLSAM or to CC for Cisco Kodo at 68683. That's 68683. I had a reporter friend of mine who was had the displeasure of having to stay there for 8 hours yesterday, and she was texting me some of what was going on, and she said one of the judge asked one of the prospective jurors, what is your favorite activity? And the prospective juror said, walking. And so my friend said, and I have 34 more of these interviews to sit through.
I mean, isn't that amazing? I've never had jury duty. Have you ever served on jury?
I was summoned for jury duty once.
And they said, no way, we don't want you.
And this was in DuPage County. This was where I grew up in God's country, DuPage County, as
right.
opposed to the unsundry Cook County that I now live in.
Right.
But, yes, I did, and I managed to
get out of it.
Deftly.
Maybe since I'm a journalist, they've never wanted me. But in this case...
You've never even been summoned?
I got out of it once. You know, you can get out of it like three times.
And you've been all over... our fruited plains.
Yeah, I certainly have. I think I just keep moving, so I keep avoiding having to serve. Although, you know, I think it would be interesting to actually serve on this one, but I don't know how you find somebody who doesn't know something about this and doesn't have some preconceived notion of what a buffoon this guy is. And
I don't think it's that you don't I don't think it's the jurors have to not know anything about it. I just think they have to come in with the ability and, you know, essentially based on their word to assess what they hear with an open mind and be open to being persuaded one way or another based on the evidence that's presented.
It only takes, you know, one juror, though, you know.
Well, you know, that's what's really interesting. I mean, I don't know. I think there are some of the 24 charges that he is facing that he could skate on, but I just don't see how he skates on all of them. There are certain things, the inalienable right to honest services and that. That whole kind of legal theory may be overturned by the Supreme Court, and that would knock out a few charges. I still think the whole sale of the Senate seat is really murky.
Well, especially what's going on in Washington right now.
How is what he did
any different than what the White House is being accused of with Sestak and Romanoff?
And Romanoff, right. I mean, that's exactly it.
Blago's standing up there saying, hey, you know, he did it, I did it. And, you know, what's the quote from White House spokesman Gibbs today saying, you know...
Who is a moron.
He says, this is what the president does. And I'm quoting him. This is what the president does.
He doesn't do it very well, apparently, many other things. But it's actually a great point because, the only difference between Blagojevich and the Romanoff, Sestak, White House, that whole drama that's unfolding, is that nobody has come forward to say he offered me the job.
Right.
So with the White House, you actually have Sestak and Romanoff saying, yeah, I was offered this in exchange for specific performance of not running. In the case of Blagojevich, this is what bothers me about the wholesale of the U.S. Senate seat from the beginning. If they were monitoring him, if they had him dead to rights, then when the federal government or any law enforcement agency is doing a sting, usually you try and get seller and buyer.
Right.
And yet the federal government, if Patrick Fitzgerald intervened before the deal, if you will, whatever prospective deal may have been on the table, was consummated. And that, to me, is odd. And that's why I think I'm going to be very interested to hear what comes out in the trial with respect to Jesse Jackson and maybe other...
you've got Rahm Emanuel, Valerie Jarrett. She wanted the seat. They're all coming in, you know.
Right.
You've got Majority Leader Harry Reid, Dick Durbin. I mean, this is going to be dirty laundry. It's going to be embarrassing for the Democrats.
Well, let's hope so. And the Republicans, you know, are thankfully not missing this opportunity. I think the Republican Party just launched a Blago Files website.
Right.
The state Republican Party did that yesterday.
Well, and what does Blago say on his website? He's for the ordinary people. I don't even know what that means, the ordinary people.
Well, you know, it's funny because I remember Blagojevich's 2006 reelection campaign so fondly. do you remember what his tagline was?
No. What was his tagline?
Getting things done for people.
That's good.
I mean, could you string more words together that when combined have no meaning?
So vague.
What
does
things,
that mean?
Which people? Yeah. But again, the fact that this guy could get elected twice in the state is a sad commentary on the state as well as on the Republican Party, at least during those 8 years.
You know, getting back to the president, I mean, didn't he run during his campaign to talk about he wanted to rid Washington of this type of thing? It's embarrassing to the White House right now. I mean, you know what they should do? Congress should just enact a law that basically says if you're going to announce your candidacy, then no one from the executive branch has the right to offer you a job. Then we'd be done with all this.
Yeah, but then they would just get Bill Clinton, who's not part of the executive branch,
to
be the ambassador.
Right.
There's always ways to skirt around these things, and it is just politics. But to your point, the idea that Obama was going to come in with a fresh, new approach to politics certainly has not turned out to be true. We're going to be back with your calls and texts. We're going to talk about a fascinating interview that Don Wayne Roma conducted with Chicago Teachers Union boss Marilyn Stewart. And I'll be back with more of the musings of the lovely and talented Lauren Cohn here on AM 890 WLS.